We're so close to the Pentagon. Sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the R.C. Scale Builder Show, Hartman and Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you for the 3rd of May. My goodness, I almost said April, but no, it is indeed the 3rd of May. We're glad to be with you for 2016. Lots to see and talk about tonight. The Shetterly family is joining us. Well, at least two of them, Joe and Jeff Shetterly, are on tonight, as well as Andy Hines, who is fresh back from a trip to Chino, California, where he saw the famous Planes of Fame air show. And he's going to be... Well, knowing Andy, just very understated. If there were a character that I could describe Andy Hines with, he's kind of the Eeyore of this station, for those of you that don't know him. But anyway, he's the host of the Hartman and Hines Show. Mr. Andy Hines will be joining us later this evening. So this is the first episode of our summer season for 2016, and it's really exciting. There's going to be a lot of good stuff. Next week, we have a brand new DC-3 or C-53 project to talk about. So good stuff coming out of, out of the interwebs that we find all this stuff on. So we're happy to be doing this, kicking off, a long time now, 7 years of doing this show. And for those of you that don't know, not to brag, but I am going to brag just for a moment here, the station this year was honored with not one, but two Edward R. Murrow Awards. That is really one of the biggest awards you can win in the broadcast business, especially in the radio side of the house, because it's given to us by the news directors. It's the old Radio Television News Directors Association, now called the Digital Association. But we're honored to be a recipient of that, two of the regional awards here for the Washington, D.C. region, Virginia, Delaware, and all the Eastern Seaboard states. So very, very honored by that. We won one for a feature story that we did this year, but then the entire station was honored this year, all of the hosts included, for an overall excellence award, another Murrow under the belt. So now three here for Warbird Radio. Very, very happy to have those, and we couldn't do it without the team that is behind all of this, and they know who they are. You know who they are because a lot of them host a show on here. So my thanks to each and every one of you for joining us every Tuesday night that we're on here live, and there's a lot of you tuning in from all over the world tonight, so we're glad you're with us. Let's get to our guests now. The Shetterly brothers, Joe and Jeff, are standing by on the phone. Good evening, guys. Thanks for being here tonight.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, good evening.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's great to have you. And in full disclosure, the last time Joe Shetterly was on this radio show, he was flying a very different airplane. He was flying an A-10. Many of you remember him as the former demo team pilot for the A-10. And he's almost outlived the A-10. As part of the Air Force flying an all-new airplane. Now we won't get into that debate. And Jeff, you were as well a commissioned officer in the Army there from the high school on the Hudson up there at West Point. Thanks for your service to both of you. But your family is really unique. Everyone flies in your family. And by everyone, I think I mean everyone. And I know both of your kids probably have logbooks from when they were just months old. Tell me about this. How has it been growing up a Shetterly?
Go ahead, Joe.
I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. Yeah, we all started very young. It actually, believe it or not, started with my mom's dad, Bill Turrell. He started flying at 48 and amassed about almost 2,000 hours before he finally passed away in 2005 and gave her a love for flying. And she soloed, I think, at 16. Met my dad after he came back from Vietnam, or our dad, and he took one flight and changed his vocation. He was going to go into law enforcement, and changed his mind and decided that he absolutely wanted to fly for a living. And really since then, he's been the driver of the family aviation. You're right. I mean, we're looking now at fourth generation aviators.
It's just incredible. And I mean, all of you, very, very talented aviators. I think Joe, you came onto the air show scene as a demo pilot, but of course for the A-10, but you had this vast amount of experience behind you. And I remember the first time, I think it was in Lethbridge when I saw you get in all these different airplanes, I thought, my God, this guy is an aviator. I mean, not just an Air Force A-10 pilot, but I mean, a real grassroots aviator. I think I watched you fly three or four airplanes that one morning. It was just incredible, man. Incredible.
Yeah, so, that was a hoot, and we certainly had a good time up there. It was, you know, over and over, Jeff and I will kind of reminisce and talk about our dad a little bit, and we affectionately call him the Jedi Master often because the guy's really flown everything, done everything that can be done in an airplane, and right when we think we have heard all the stories, we'll get him in a situation where he starts talking, and we just look at each other like, we've never heard this one, and it's some amazing story of something incredible he did, or, you know, some situation he narrowly escaped. And, you know, the biggest thing that stands out and the stuff that led to like that, being able to show up at a random airport with very cool airplanes and have people throw the keys at you, is that, you know, our dad is probably the best flying instructor I've been lucky enough to fly with. And that's across the gamut of, civilian aviators and warbird pilots and Air Force training, and now up into the major airlines. So, our dad's very unique in that, and it's just, we're honored and privileged, and both of us, I think, I can talk for Jeff too, we're just thankful for the privilege of getting the opportunity to learn from our dad. He's quite a guy.
Well, a lot of folks say they learned something from their dad and their mom, but I mean, to share a common interest like this is really, it's not heard about often. I mean, we hear about father and son teams, but never an entire family getting involved in this. Now, just in fairness, the Shetterly Squadron, you have formed a family airshow act, and it's Joe with the RV-8 rifle airshows that he's known for, and brother Jeff there in the T-6 radial rumble, and then your dad, Greg, is flying the One design that he built. And I have to say that a lot of folks, you know, we've all seen the One design fly, but he flies this thing like an MX, and it really is. I mean, he really is crisp with it, and it's a phenomenal little aircraft when he flies it. I was very impressed watching him up there at McConnell Air Force Base 1 year, right after I think he built it. I think he just finished it, in fact, flying that thing. Just an incredible family. And then your mother, I understand, sometimes sits in as the announcer. Is that her duty in the actual air show act that the family has?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's really, in a lot of ways, the glue that holds it all together. And, you know, I think that the crowd really connects with her when she talks about sort of the personal side of, you know, his building of the airplane, is preparing for air shows and all of us and sort of what we do. And often she'll grab one of the grandkids, bring him up and put him on the mic and give him a chance to talk to crowds of 100,000 people. And it's just a lot of fun, and we all enjoy it.
That's terrific. How did you guys come up with the idea of doing this this family air show act? I'm guessing it was like sitting around the hangar one night, but, I mean, give me the backstory on this.
I'd say that's pretty close. I think the driving factor is back to the roots of why we're doing this stuff. You know, Matt, and I know you share the same passion, the stuff you do there with Chipmunks and Tiger Moth and the grassroots aviation, the stuff that, you know, Jeff and I were building paper and balsa wood airplanes, and that turned into U-Control airplanes, which turned into radio control airplanes. And we're just little boys that love airplanes, and you get kind of deep into the business side of stuff, and all of a sudden we realize, you know, what are we really, why are we doing all this if not for that it's something we're passionate about and we enjoy sharing this thing as a family, and you know, putting the organization and putting a stamp on it and putting a name to it gives us a chance to have a pointed and a focused mission and kind of an internal mission statement, which includes sharing that passion, the stuff that got us excited about little airplanes in the first place.
That's awesome. Let's go to the phones real fast. We have a caller here. Good evening, caller. You're on with Jeff and Joe. Good evening. Hello, caller. You're on the air. caller's having some problems there, I guess. So I was trying to come back to you. But anyhow, so the interesting thing, and I didn't even point this out, but you guys are so famous that everybody knows this. They're calling in tonight. Phone lines are indeed open. 478-787-4768 is the number to dial. You can find us. It's a free call on Skype from anywhere in the world. Just username is Warbird Radio. We're happy to take your calls tonight. One thing that I want to bring out, because I think this is so important to the story, is that you guys are not at each other's throats. You're not fighting all the time. The family has really evolved into this great air show act, and your brides seem to put up with this too, and your kids seem to love it. I want to know if you ever remember a time when aviation just wasn't top of mind, and if it was, what sort of wooed you away from it, and why do you think that was? And there's a reason for this question, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, for me, after getting my private pilot license as a kid, I went off to the academy and really didn't fly except on holidays. That's sort of when the family got involved with aerobatics at that time, and then I was stationed overseas. So there's about a 9-year gap for me at the same time that Joe and Mom were going through their initial life is not always easy. I mean, even though we flew from early on, it's not like it was a silver spoon kind of story. We owned a Cessna 120, which we eventually sold just during the mergers and acquisitions of the 80s flight departments. It sort of got eaten up and gobbled by other flight departments. And so we moved around a lot. We lived in Michigan and then Ohio and then Montana and Minnesota and Indiana before really settling down in Kansas. And so a lot of that time, it just wasn't economically feasible to fly. So we just did what we could when we could.
And it wasn't that it wasn't something that drug you away from aviation. The reason I brought this up, I thought this was such a great question. A young guy wrote in, and I won't mention names because some of you may know him, but he said, you know, I'm really struggling with this right now, and I'm wondering if I should just go ahead and hang it up for a while and then bring it back. So I thought, well, what a great question for two guys that have been so immersed in this for your entire life. And, you know, just thinking back on my own path into this, I can't remember ever not being completely obsessed with it. I mean, just really, like, to the point where, you know, my priest buddies, they say, you know, maybe Matt, it's, you know, good for Lent or whatever, but just think about it, you know. So it's all consuming, and it becomes such a way of life versus a hobby or something like that. And I think you've probably shared the experience of the teachers saying, well, look, if you can ever figure out how to make money with those little airplanes, I'd like to know about it. Because I think you ought to work a little harder on this English paper or whatever it is. You know, we've all been down that road. But when you're passionate about something, it just comes through, I think, every single time. And that's what I'm hearing in both of you. So to the young guy, maybe come back to it in a year or two or whatever, when the finances, because it is about finances, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's what keeps airplanes going.
It sure can be. Yeah.
So how do you go into that?
There are ways for them to bring that cost, though.
Yeah, there are, and I was going to let Joe and maybe Joe tee that up a little bit. You flew for Uncle Sam for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I got to say, there really hasn't, in my lifetime, there hasn't been a better time to be excited about or interested in pursuing a career as a pilot. Development in the air show, not the air show, but the airline industry and the age 65 mandatory retirement rule that changed a few years ago. If you do just a little research on the upcoming demand for pilots, it's going to grow exponentially over the next 10 years. So if you think you're excited about becoming a pilot, there really hasn't been a better time. So that's one thing that's going on. But just to take a quick step back on what you guys, what you were talking about there, what came to my mind was kind of how Jeff and I got started with owning airplanes. And we had grown up around little airplanes that our folks had bought, and that was a great privilege. But we found ourselves out in the, quote, real world, young adults, and we were dying to have
right.
an airplane.
Right.
And, you know, we scoured barnstormers.com and had endless, conversations, endless hours on the phone from cities across the country wargaming, how in the world are we going to get an airplane that's fast enough to be exciting for us and spend less than what most people spend on a car right now?
You know, and you know, how many times have you had a young aviator call you up and they say, "What? Look, I found this Aranca Chief on there for $6,000. What do you think of it?" Because everybody's done that, haven't they? We all go to the low priced horse and go, "Man, what do you think? I mean, what do you think?" Yeah. Okay,
you know,
that's cool.
You know, it's fun at this point. You know, Jeff's flying the T-6, and I fly big airplanes, and still fly the A-10, and we have the air show airplanes. And our last 10 conversations at some point have led to talk of just missing that, flying something, having access all the time to something like a Champ or a Chief or a Taylor Craft, and how it's like a hole in our heart right now. We're missing that, and it is the root of this passion for flying, and it is affordable. It's if people look at what they spend their money on and where they put their money throughout the year for entertainment, like you said, there's that 65 horse something out there, and you can own it and go fly it if it's what you want to do.
That is so true. And you know, I look back to it. I had the L2, you know, when I first started in, and mainly be. And this is an odd story because my wife said, you know, look, I think it's time that you know maybe think about getting a big airplane because the models are great and you can still do that. But I mean, come on, make hay while the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. If you're going to, you know, go get an airplane, let's do this. And so we did. And, and you fly that thing on 2 or 3 gallons an hour just for the heck of it. You know, up here in this part of the country, you can go up and ride the mountain wave, so to speak, and sit there and then really irritate the hell out of those guys flying the 172s when you land. And you put like 3 gallons in it or 2 gallons in it. They're like, "How long have you been flying?" You're like, "Oh, well, an hour and a half. How long have you been flying?" You know? I mean, stuff like that becomes fun all of a sudden. And as you said, very, very affordable. So we've all been there. Jeff, tell me about the T6, because obviously your brother and your dad flying much, much smaller airplanes, and then you show up with a T6. How did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Jedi mind trick, and they just basically said, "You need a T6, and then I agreed. So
you need to pay for a T6 so we can fly.
You need to pay for a T6 for the family. Right. That's how it went. I mean, I remember when we lived in Los Angeles in 2005, we went out to Torrance Memorial Airport, and in there was a gorgeous SNJ T6. That happened to be owned by Brad Lang. And then it turned out that Brad and Joe and Dad and Mom all knew each other from the International Aerobatics Club back in Kansas City. And I just fell in love with that airplane back then. And then I remember 2009 or 10 being at Tarkio at that air show and seeing just a whole bunch of T6s and just loving the design. And then one day, Matt Junkin called up and said, "I heard you're looking for a T6.
Right.
And and I agreed that would be really awesome. Maybe not feasible at the time, but he knew of a great deal on one that had been owned by his dad, Bobby. And we started negotiating, and a year and a half later, we figured it out. So
a year and a half later.
It.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't ever I want to go with you to buy a car. That is incredible. Unless Matt was doing the talking, then I could see how that could drag out for a little while, you know?
No.
Well,
yeah, exactly. That was definitely not it. No, it ended up being a great deal and on an airplane that needs a little TLC. And
those are the
we've
best.
Done that, and it's been a blast to fly. It's unlike, really for me, unlike anything else I've flown. I felt like I was water skiing behind the airplane for the first 20 minutes and before I finally caught up to the cockpit when we took off. So I really enjoy it.
That's terrific. We're talking tonight to the Shetterly brothers, Joe and Jeff Shetterly, part of the Shetterly Squadron, as they're known in the airshow world, and of course the Shetterly family, a great family in aviation today who has an airshow act. And all three of you, I guess, fly in this act. Tell me about this and what we may see at one of the upcoming events.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I'd say it started, you know, coming off of the A-10 demo and I had the RV-8 and said, well, this thing obviously needs a smoke system and I need to get a waiver in the airplane. So that's kind of how it started. And Dad had been working on the one design and was finishing it kind of the same time and test flying it. So that went hand in hand. So we started with the solo axe and then Dad and I got our formation aerobatic competency cards here a few years ago and started working on that about the time Jeff bought the T6. So here we are, and we've been flying a lot of formation together. And, you know, what folks can expect to see is a very dissimilar and colorful formation to open and close the act. And you've got two-ship formation aerobatics in the middle and three different solo acts. And, wow. And it's a variety show, but with the same name on every airplane.
That's incredible, though. And a variety act is what we need right now. So three airplanes, all incredibly dissimilar. The one design, which is like almost half the size of the RV, and then the RV, and then the T6, which is bigger than probably both of them put together, I guess. Wow. Well, it's a great idea, great concept. And Jeff, talk a little bit. You touched on this. Graduate of West Point, went on to buy a T6 for the family, which is a very noble thing. And that doesn't happen unless you study hard. Joe, we know, went the route, and I ask this question of everybody because there's so many young folks out there that are listening to this show. Joe, you went the route of the military, of career, and serving your country there, flying the A-10 and then now in the airline. Jeff, talk to us a little bit about your background. So if folks want to do something other than fly professionally but fly for fun like you are, and semi-professionally, I should say, in the air show business, give us the story. Give us the route that you went.
Yeah, I left military service in 2001 as a captain in the Army and went through a junior military officer recruiter who married me up with a company that was working with hedge funds with software. And that wasn't really my fit, and that was sort of a fire and forget sort of relationship situation where you sell something and then disappear. And later, I took a job in Atlanta as a director of international sales for a plastic surgery company, which was a lot better fit, a lot of sort of long-term relationships with folks. And then my best buddy from the Army, Brandon Crawford, had joined a large medical device company and recruited me over to it. And that's how we moved out to Los Angeles. And then my boss there sort of took a job with another large medical device company, St. Jude Medical, where I work today. And we implant devices for chronic pain, similar to pacemakers, where we stimulate the nervous system to make pain go away. And it's something, medical device rep is not something usually you'd find a high schooler saying, I'm going to grow up and be a medical
device rep. I'm going to be a medical
rep.
Device rep.
I hadn't even heard of it.
Well, but the point is it creates opportunities in aviation, and that's what is so important. Everybody thinks that. They think about what can I do just to get into it and just to do the bare minimum. I mean, at this point, with these rare aircraft that we love to talk about, these former military airplanes, that it takes cubic amounts of dollars. So have a realistic goal if you want to do this and get out there and make some money and do something, or do something like Joe's doing, where you make money and you have a little bit of fun too. So nothing happens without hard work. Isn't that the truth? So
that is true. That is absolutely true. For sure.
What's the next show, guys? Yeah. Where's the Shetterly Squadron going to appear next?
Yeah, good question. We've got a couple.
Check our website right now. Hang on a minute.
RadioRumble.com, right. ShetterlySquadron.com. So I'm in Paris, Texas on May 14th, and Joe and Dad are in Victoria, Texas that same day. Then all of us join each other up in Scott City, Kansas on June 4th. And then the first really big air show for us is the Quad City Air Show at the end of June, June 25th and 26th in Davenport, Iowa.
Which is sadly really like the last one. Is that what I'm told? That's the last Quad City show? Period? I think the 30th year? Is that that's what I've been reading.
It's the 30th year for sure.
Yeah, I've been reading about this. Yeah. So
interesting.
Go and support your local air shows. Yeah, go support your local air. And I'm not propagating what I hope is not misinformation, but I mean, my goodness, go support your local air shows. Paris, Texas. I have friends in Paris, Texas. Great, great town. That's where Junior Birchnell used to be. And you ought to hear some of his stories. And then down to Victoria, man, I used to go to that show. That's like not far at all from where my old stomping ground down there in South Texas. I was just home a while back and drove through there. That's a fun show down there to do as well, I'm sure. So great. So then the whole family gets together at Quad Cities, and let's hope it's not the last one. We're going to push hard for that and hope that continues.
Yeah, I sure hope so. What a fun show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what is your tie, your earliest air show memory maybe? That's always the fun one that everybody wants to know. Then we'll go to the caller here.
Good question.
I have one. It was at an Air Force base in Illinois that I think is closed now. Isn't that right, Jeff? Or was it Indiana?
Yeah, it was a Champaign, maybe.
Yeah, somewhere. Maybe so. Anyway, young enough that I can't remember exactly where it was, but our uncle was a life support troop there at one of the flying squadrons, and we went there, and I suppose I was probably 5 years old, and I remember seeing the F-15C demo stand that jet on its tail and accelerate vertically, and I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe an airplane could do that.
and then here you are.
Certainly made an impression.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad the A-10 doesn't have an afterburner, because that would have been fun watching you do that.
That is too bad.
Let's go to this caller real quick. Let's go to this caller real fast, and we'll get to your story, Jeff. Good evening, caller. You're on the air.
Sure.
Hello, caller.
Is that me?
That's you, yes. Good evening, caller.
Well, this is Silbert calling to speak to Jose and El Jefe.
Hey, Phil.
I'm fortunate enough to have flown with each of the flying Chevrolets at one time or another. And I met Joe. We went to KU together. We graduated together. We shared an office as teaching assistants. And I just feel really fortunate to have met the Chevrolet family. And, you know, experience not only, you know, their love for flying, which is obvious, but their love for each other and their dedication to family and just all things that are just wonderful, you know. And I think that we've shared some high times at air shows, and unfortunately we've shared some of the worst low times at air shows. But I guess what I learned from that, being associated with, you know, being friends with the Chevrolets, is just how huge and intertwined the global air show family is, and how much support air show performers get from each other, and the love they have for each other, and you know, the flying that they do. And it's, I'm just, like I said, I'm incredibly fortunate to have to know the Chevrolets, and just I miss them, and I think about them every day. So
thanks for calling in tonight. We do appreciate it.
I've got a question for the young men there, though.
Okay.
I guess, could you guys talk us through a little bit of the logistics that are involved in putting together an air show season, and knowing how many shows you can do, and knowing when you're going to get to them, and coordinating your outside life with all that stuff?
There you go. Good
that
question.
That is dependent 100% on the strength of one's marriage.
That's
the crux right there, the limiting reagent. So,
yeah. Right.
It's how much will our wives put up with? And logistically, Phil, one of the things I find, Joe is made of steel. I'm not. I start out every season and have to work up to my G tolerance, and maybe it's because I don't fly too much during the winter. But part of it is just training every year, coming up with a new routine, new music, making sure it all fits and it works, and it gives the announcer a chance, like you, Matt, to really say what you want to say without sort of drowning you out with words and lyrics and things like that. And then, you know, really figuring out sort of a routing for the shows. Are we going to leave the plane somewhere in a region, or are we going to take them back home? And that's really kind of the opportunities you think about. I know a couple of years ago, Joe and Dad were asked to go out to Washington State. And gosh, that's a huge logistical move to cross the Continental Divide in a single engine
piston airplane. So
fun, but not maybe maybe not worth the paycheck at the end of the day. You know, there was a great Mustang pilot, and I love this line, and I won't say names, but he always says when the show comes up and starts, you know, kind of harassing him on the price, he says, "Look," he goes, "you know, it's up to me to decide which shows I want to underwrite, and I'm not sure if I want to underwrite yours right now because this is not a for-profit venture for me." And
true.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that when you're talking about flying two airplanes from, you know, Kansas to Washington State. I mean, my goodness. But Phil, thanks for the call tonight, Phil, and I hope that answers some questions. A lot of love in the air for you guys, and I think that's well deserved. And I know we've got to wrap things up here in a few seconds because Joe, you're out flying, and Jeff, you got stuff at home too. I want to hear from both of you what you hope folks take away after they see your routine. And Joe, I'll just put you on the spot there, or Jeff, if you want to go first, you're the older brother, go right ahead. But one of you there, jump in. What do you want folks to take away? What is the takeaway from the Shetterly Squadron?
It's a culmination of a lot of the things that we talked about tonight, and even a little bit of the, you know, maybe what Phil has experienced from us, but. Gosh, how do you put it in the one concise thing? You know, one of the coolest things we all get to see at air shows is when there's a little boy or little girl on daddy's shoulders or whatever it is, and they get that look on their face, and you can tell they're experiencing this amazing thing for the first time, and it's blowing their mind. And to get to inspire that moment, and then once in a while we get a chance where that little guy or girl comes up and they're, you know, I want to be a pilot someday. And gosh, I don't know that there's anything more valuable that we do other than trying to provide that inspiration and send the message that our parents gave us, which is if you want to go do this thing, you can. All you have to do is figure out what the necessary steps are, be willing to work hard and get after it.
Well said. Yeah. Jeff, what about from your take on it?
I would say I totally couldn't agree more, but I would also add that there's I have a passion with aviation. I love watching paper airplanes land in the carpet. You know, I mean, I just enjoy seeing things fly. I love it. But even more than that, I love people and sharing it with people. Love sharing what we do with folks out there. And I find that sometimes it's even unlikely people at the show, and once in a while there are big kids that are just inspired. And I want to inspire them. I want them to get up close and get a chance to see the cockpit and get a feel for what it's like. And I've seen all walks of life and learned, especially from veterans that flew airplanes like mine when they were new. And that's been so much fun. Guys that haven't smelled a cockpit in 55 years and yet get in and give me ideas about manifold pressure management and things like that. And I've learned quite a That's bit awesome. From the older veterans. I just love that.
You know, one thing that worries me is we see the World War II generation dying off now at such a fast rate, and telling their stories is important. I mean, it's almost as ancient history as World War I. And we have seen in just the last few years, an influx of replica World War I airplanes. But you know, what worries me is that you and I, the three of us are at that age where these Vietnam vets have so little left flying. I mean, really and truly, there's so little left flying. I hope that the next generation makes a lot more money than we do so they can afford to get some of these really cool jets back in the air, because it's going to be on their, you know, it's their burden. Keeping a T-6 and a Mustang is one thing, but, you know, my goodness, I mean, an F-4 Phantom and an F-105, if we could ever get, if we could ever get one of those, or, you know, I mean, my goodness, talk about a gas burner, you know. I hope that they hear I hope they hear what you're saying, and because we owe those guys, if we've ever owed anybody, we owe those guys and gals a huge debt.
Yeah.
To pay.
Absolutely.
And that's on us. I mean, it's on the show.
Love that they deserved when they came back either, and I always try to get those guys close and let them be a part of it as much as I can.
Well, and your T-6 certainly did its part in Vietnam as a mosquito and everything else, but I'm not taking away from that, but I'm just saying it, you know, all these folks talk, they all talk about it, but it's up to us to make this happen, and we're seeing more and more of this at air shows, and I just think it's great. But you're absolutely right. I think you touched on the the key points to educate, motivate, and inspire that next generation is so important. Your website is quick linked into the show story, by the way. It's Shutterly Squadron. And I know that there's links on that one page for all of your respective air show acts. I just really appreciate you guys coming on. It's a pleasure to know both of you. And I want to echo what Filmer said. It's just a pleasure to know both of you guys and your dad and your mother as well. Always look forward to it. And I hope we get to work together at some point.
Likewise. Yeah.
I think we are.
See each other at Offutt Air Force Base.
That's right. Yeah. There we go. I was on the on the tip of my tongue there, but that'll be great. So will that be the entire family? Is that the Shutterly experience? Okay.
Yeah. You're going to get the whole deal.
Who races the jet truck? I don't even know if we're having a jet truck there. If not, we'll get Ralph or somebody to drive the Buick. But
if Chris is ever going to let me race him again. last time I raced the jet truck, my airspeed indicator had a hole in the pitot line, and I was going 20 knots faster than I was supposed to be. So
not that it's pre-planned or anything, but
we don't want to give that away.
You know
that a 375 mile an hour truck shouldn't beat a 200 mile an hour airplane,
yeah,
but
on a rough and small runway
it doesn't work out.
Yeah, that's right. There you go, guys. Thanks for coming on. It's great hearing your voices.
Thanks,
I look
man.
Forward to seeing you in a few more.
See you, man.
Two more months. All right. So long, guys. The Shetterly brothers there joining us live from their homes and from their offices in the sky. We'll be right back with Andy Hines and a full report from Chino, California, right after this. Stay with us.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the all-new Warbird Radio Live channel. We're happy to be back on the air right across from the runway at Washington Reagan International Airport. Be sure and tune in Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern each week for Warbird Radio Live, followed by a new episode of one of our top-tier shows like the RC Scale Builder Show, Hartman and Hines, Over the Front, and the all-new Texas Warbird Report and Wings Over New Zealand Show. Listen, this station is all about community, so please join up with us on Tuesday nights and call in and become part of the fun and part of the family. Thanks again for tuning in, and join us Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back here to the Tuesday Night Show. Matt Jolly here with you for the 3rd of May. And I'm happy to be with you. We're having a great show next week. I just wanted to run down it because this one, next week, we're talking to Jason Capra. He is, he's the president right now of a project that I think you're really going to be just fascinated with. We're talking about Vintage Wings Incorporated, their C-53 Beach City Baby. That show will air next week, and I hope you can tune in to find out about that. A really cool airplane, a C-53 formerly up in Andes, part of the country. Good evening, sir. How are you tonight? Andy Hines joining us now. This was the governor's
airplane.
How you
doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. I'm just glad it's not your voicemail. This was the C-53 that we're talking about, Beach City Baby, that's coming on next week with Jason Capra. That was the governor of Ohio's airplane. And now they're saving it. You should open up the coffers from the ski lodge, the Hines Family Ski Lodge, that has had a great winter this year, and just buy them two new engines, I think. I think that's what you should do. I'm just going to throw that out
there. So you think I need a twin beach?
No, no. It is a DC-3, a C-53.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
You're made of lots of money.
You know what? I agree. Why not? My dad flew one. My brother was married in one. Why shouldn't I have one?
I think, they already have it, but I think you should buy them two new engines and then go fly with them. help Jason out. You know, he's doing a good work. He's going to be on next week. And hopefully you and Hartman will be on sometime soon. I think Dave Homewood is on next week. We're getting the schedule. Everybody's asking about the schedule. The behind the scenes at Warbird Radio is much less organized than most of you probably think. It usually involves Andy calling me, drunk dialing me at about 3 in the morning, saying, "When are we coming on?" And then it's like, "Andy, go to bed." And then Dave calls me right after that from New Zealand because it's like 1 in the afternoon there. And it's like this all the time. But we're going to get our act together, and I think Dave's on next week, and then it's Zane, and then I think it's you and Hartman are up. So,
okay, good.
Yeah, going to be fun. Tell me about your trip to Chino, because more important than calling me at 3:30 in the morning about when you're going to be on is all of these text messages that you were sending out including the Ryan Fireball. You had an absolute blast, did you not, at Chino?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, you know, that this is a show that I've wanted to go to for many, many, many years, you know, and I can remember even as a kid reading Air Classics and them talking about what was going on at Chino, and that always just seemed to be the hotbed of, you know, warbird activity. So I thought, by God, I'm going to go out there because I'm invited every year by friends out there, you know, and so this year I went, and I tell you, it's a must-do air show. I will definitely go again.
Well, there you go, Andy, and that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks for...
Yeah, great. Don't you want to know more about me or I've done? Or
I want to know, I think I've been pretty vocal about it. My favorite airplane to watch has to be the Tiger Cat, just to listen to it. If I owned it, I don't think I'd ever fly it. I think I would have someone fly it, because I just want to stand on the ground and listen to it. And not only did you see a Tiger Cat fly, you saw a whole entire host of really cool aircraft in the air. What? Just tell us a few of them.
Oh, well, you know, of course, the Tiger Cat, yeah, that's pretty awesome. There were 3 T-Furies there. There were 6 P-40s. You know, how many times do you see 6 P-40s together? Of course, one of the highlights for me, being an antique guy, was the Boeing P-26. You know, that's an airplane I've always wanted to see fly, and I was impressed. You know,
it has the inertial starter on it and everything that they start firing.
Yep, the inertial starter, and that was a big hit with the crowd. You know, a lot of people have never seen that before.
A lot of people have never been to Moraine Air Park and had the pleasure of watching.
Right, and watched a starter walk over the
That's right.
starter.
That's right.
But, yeah, 3 Spitfires were there, you know. Of course, another big highlight for me was seeing Rudy Frasca's Focke-Wulf 190 fly.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
And that was just awesome. And to see it fly with a P-47, you know, in formation and in trail and that type of thing, you know, it reminded me of our good friend, you know, Herb Stackler. You know, and I mean, because Herb was shot down by an FW-190 on, you know, D-Day plus 1 or 2.
I don't think Herb would have enjoyed that. I think Herb would have probably, like, poured water in the gas or something, or, you know,
he would have been all over the Focke-Wulf looking it over, you know.
right, wanting to know what the hell got him. Yeah, well,
that's right.
That's just the best part about Stackler, Herb. There. Boy, I miss him. What a guy. Michelle and I were talking one night about Herb, and I recounted his story about driving cross country with the kids in the back seat. And he mm-hmm. looks at me, and I know you've heard him tell the story, and he looks at whoever he's telling the story to, and he says, you know, golly, back then I always wished I'd had a fishing pole with a boxing glove on the end of it, so I could just reach back there and pop him in the head when the... And I thought, you know, I don't think he's kidding. I think that was just Herb, I mean, in a nutshell. You know?
Yep.
What a scrapper,
exactly.
Man. Always a scrapper, but a great guy. So, yeah, the P-47, the Focke-Wulf 190, I mean, they were all there. And you had really probably prime seating, I guess, where you were staying.
Oh, yeah.
You want to tell everybody.
Absolutely. You know, I have 3 friends that have a large hangar row there. There's about 6 or 8 hangars in a row, and it's known as the Cal Aero Aviation Country Club. And it was, you know, the idea for the whole thing was through Les Whittlesey, a good friend of mine. And Les had the forethought to build these hangars, and then he built them in 1930 style hangars, and they're quite large. They're probably, you know, 60 by 80 or 100, you know, so pretty good size. They're 2-story hangars, so a lot of them have offices or lofts or apartments upstairs, you know, and I'm fortunate to have, you know, Les has 2 of those hangars. Dave Pyatt has 1 of them, and Paul Tackerberry has another one.
And what could possibly be more expensive? Right. What could be more expensive, though, than a country club without a golf course, but one with a runway?
That's right. Which is
the best kind, I think, you know? And there you are, right in the middle of it all. I've been out there a number of times, and I love that area on the airport because it's right in the middle. I mean, you see everything.
I mean, we had the best seats in the house, you know, and then in the evenings, you know, when the sun is nice, I'd walk the flight line and take photographs, you know, or get up in the morning and go out and take photographs. And, you know, we just had a blast. And then, you know, Chino, you can walk around that airport and see things that you didn't even realize there were any of them still flying.
Isn't that the truth?
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what's the amazing part, you know. And then to see the Planes of Fame Museum and the Yanks Air Museum, you know, those were two big highlights for me. You know, always wanted to see those and you know, had a good opportunity to go through everything in both those collections. And, you know, saw a lot of friends out there, you know, that I have. And, it couldn't have been any better, that's for sure.
I was at Planes of Fame this past summer, late summer, doing a show down in Southern California, and I stopped in, and I was just absolutely sort of blown away by how they have gone from just a collection of aircraft to what I would consider a real museum. The storytelling board, I mean, Karen Hinton and the Hinton family, the Maloneys, and all of the volunteers out there, I think have done a bang-up job of building this into and even crossing the threshold, like right when you walk into the door, there's that sensory experience with the engine sound, the aircraft flying over, and you're sort of immersed in it right there from the word go. And they've done such a great job of telling the story that Joe and Jeff are talking about tonight, that initial hook that sort of grabs you when you're fascinated by this stuff. They carry that through the entire exhibit, and I'm sure you noticed that too. It stands out, doesn't it, from other air museums? It's just sort
absolutely
park the planes out there. So,
you know, and everybody was super friendly out there. You know, they'd take time to talk to you and answer questions. You know, and a lot of those guys, they were hustling around trying to get some of these airplanes flying for the weekend. You know, and so you'd walk into the hangar and, you know, there's eight guys working on the Zero, trying to get it going for the weekend, the real one, you know, that's the 100% complete one.
That they just restored. I mean, they took it apart. It was still in parts and pieces whenever I was there. Less than a
you know, the only thing I didn't see fly that I really looked forward to was the little flying wing. And it had mechanical issues, but they did get it going for Sunday, but we had already left by the time, you know, they got it flying.
Well, and that's a shame because they flew the Ryan Fireball Sunday afternoon, too, I was told.
Did they really?
That's what I was
told.
They
were given rides, I heard. $5 a ride.
Yeah, that's right. And if anybody wants to tell us any different, don't tell Mike Hartman. That's the only thing here. Don't tell Hartman because, nickel rides in the Ryan Fireball weekend.
Planes
of Fame Air Show. That's right. poor Hartman missed his chance. Yeah, they had to park it after that. But wow, what an airplane! And so you saw the mythical Ryan Fireball, and you took some pictures for Mike Hartman. What did he say when you got back?
Pictures. Oh yeah, when I that was the first thing I had to take a picture of me touching it.
Yeah.
You know,
licking
and
it.
So, oh yeah, I texted that to Hartman. And I had a response in about 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't repeat that response on the air, probably.
No, not really. Yeah. Not really, because,
Right.
There are some overtones there. Yeah.
Good old Mike Hartman. Mike is obsessed with this airplane. I mean, in particular, the Ryan Fireball is one of his favorites.
Yeah.
It's a propeller on the front, and it's all blow in the back, isn't it? I mean, it's a propeller and prop combination. That it's something to see. And Planes of Fame, I think that's the only one, is it not?
Yes, as far as I know, that is the only one, yep.
There's probably three of them on that airport, but that's the only one that we
know. That's right, yeah, they give dual in one.
That's right.
Instruction for primary students. Right.
I was there 1 year, and Steve Hinton was talking about something, and he said, I always love the P-38, and it's great to see this. And he goes, well, which one are you talking about? And I said, well, the one that's there. And he goes, there's three on the airport, Matt. And he wasn't kidding. I mean, you know, at the time it was, still Honey Bunny is still there. Then the Yanks Museum has one as well. So where else can you go with three P-38? I mean, you can't even do that at the Air Force Museum.
Right. Well, and you know, and there were a couple more P-40s that were there that, you know, weren't flying.
Yeah.
You know, there was the, another one of the real early model P-40s was there in the Yanks hangar, you know, but they had the engine out of it, and it was up on jacks, and the wheels were off of it, and, you know, they were doing some heavy maintenance on it.
Well, and then right across from Planes of Fame and from all of the Yanks Museum and everything else is AeroTrader. And, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on about the Chino Airport. A really cool place to be. And then the feedlot just down the road, right? And I'm sure you ate it. You ate at Flo's, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Andy? Well, that's a must. You know, everybody always said, if you go to Chino, you gotta go have a hamburger at Flo's. So we checked that box.
Well, good. Good. And it lived up to everything that you had hoped and dreamed about. That's the important
part. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was it, you know. And I tell you, everything was just pleasant about the whole experience, you know. Nice hotel. It was easy flying into Ontario there and you know, 10 or 15 minute drive down to Chino, you know, not a problem. And
that's great.
Weather was great the whole time. You know, it wasn't too hot. And, yeah, it couldn't have been better.
Well, the only thing I wanted to know is, did you fly while you were there, Andy?
No. You know, I had hoped that I was going to get a little flying in, you know, either in Les's Lockheed 12, which he flew for the parade of flight Friday evening with the antiques.
Right.
You know,
the Lockheed 12,
or possibly in the Monocoupe.
Oh, now wouldn't that, you fall in love with the Monocoupe, don't you? Every day. I think you wake up, you're a Waco guy. You're the, one of the most knowledgeable guys on the Waco that I've ever met. But the Monocoupe really blows your skirt up, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. I just think they have sexy lines, you know, and they're fast.
More importantly, as Andy will tell everybody, there's no red line on a Monocoupe.
That's it. That's it.
You want to go fast. That's the airplane to go. That's the one to go in. Well, all right. That or the Ryan Fireball. All right, Andy. Glad you're back from the Planes of Fame Air Museum and their annual air show in Chino, California. If you want to see more about that, we're going to put a quick link on our website, and we'll share some news from Planes of Fame there in this show story. So if you haven't heard of Planes of Fame, I don't know what rock you've been hiding under for the last 50, 60 years, but it's the end-all, be-all, isn't it, Andy, when it comes to flying?
Absolutely. Experiences. I highly recommend anyone to go.
There you go. Great Warbird show out there in Chino, California. Great people, too. The Hinton family, the Malone, everybody out there. Just terrific. Andy Hines, thanks for being on the show. Do appreciate it, sir.
All right. You're welcome, Matt.
We'll talk to you in a few weeks with an all-new Hartman and Hines show. Thanks
again.
Sounds
good.
All right. Andy Hines there, checking in from Dayton, Ohio, from the Hines Family Ski Lodge. And you can find out more about his show by visiting our website there at warbirdradio.com. You already found it. You're listening to it. Download some Hartman and Hines tonight. You'll be glad you did. Normally they're on right after this show, but tonight we wanted to kick things off with Warbird Radio Live. We'll be back next week with our full broadcast schedule, so please continue to join up. Sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already done that. There is a link to the mailing list and all of that stuff on our Facebook page. It's just facebook.com/Warbird Radio. You can get Warbird Radio weekly every week. We've been doing this for, I don't know, well over a year's worth of them now. But get on there and do that. We don't spam you. In fact, I often forget. So just do it, and we'll send the newsletters out as they come on. Also, before we go tonight, I want to remind you to tune in next week for Jason Capra from Vintage Wings, because this guy is putting his money where his mouth is. He used to help out with Tim Chope. He still does in the C-54, the beautiful C-54 that Tim operates in honor of the Berlin Airlift. And he had dreamed all these years from being a kid, dreamed about having his own airplane. And Tim Chope said to him one day, he said, this is possible. This is possible. And so Jason believed him, and he's now caring for his C-53, and he needs our help. So we're going to find out about this story. There's just some great stuff going on. I'm telling you, Jason Capra and the Vintage Wings Group is truly... I think you're going to be won over by them. They're on next week. So this is a new project that's just servicing so many things going on out there. Great work. Our friends Patrick Mahalik and the guys up there at Warbirds of Glory. Just great stuff going on. And I'm so happy that we can be a voice and a platform for all these folks to come on and share with you about their interesting projects. If you have a project that you'd like us to feature and cover, send me an email. It's just matt@warbirdradio.com. If you have a book, whatever it is that fits our stuff, send it to us. We have a full season here for the summer, and we'd love to feature you and get you out there. My next air show will be in Rhode Island. The Warbird Radio Tour continues. We were back from Phoenix, Kingsville, Texas, at NAS Kingsville down there, Luke Air Force Base. Did Sun and Fun there. We had a great time announcing all of those shows. And then, to boot, Fort Worth, the big Air Power Expo there out at the Dallas-Fort Worth show. So things are going well on our side. Thank a veteran. We'll talk to you next week with an all-new show. So long for now, everyone.